And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? A very happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Bucky, DJ back with you. Move the Sticks. Buck, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good, man. Look, Thanksgiving is always a great time of reflection. So I'm going to say, look, the gratitude that I have, not only for our relationship on and off the pod, but for everyone around us that really helps the MTS thing come together. Like, really appreciative of all the efforts that everyone does. So at a time when everyone is kind of taking time to reflect and appreciate, I want everyone to know we really appreciate you, listeners, and all the people on the other side.
No, that's a great call, man. First of all, very, very thankful for you, Buck. Chance to do these pods together, to kind of engage our football curiosity together over all these years, which we've been able to do, and to see it all growing, to see the TV show, which is doing great. Thanks to all you guys for watching that on Mondays. That's been a blast. And the Thursday nights that we've been doing with Amazon, it's just fun to watch what this started as this little podcast. It's kind of grown. And very thankful for you. Very thankful for Nabil and all the folks behind the scenes that kind of make this whole thing go. We've got a great team with Ted and Kleiman, and Tanton, everybody that's involved on the TV show. So thankful for everybody for all that they do for us. David Singer, the best booker in the business, for getting us great guests like we had just the other day with Luke Kuechly. So again, very thankful for all those folks, and really thankful for you, the listeners, who have helped this thing grow and been a big part of the ride. Thank you guys so much for being with us and joining us. I'm not going to be a long pod today. I want to talk a little bit about some of these Thanksgiving games that we've got coming up, but I had a topic I want to hit you up on, Buck, because I was thinking about this the other day and talking to a coach, and we're getting ready to finish up the regular season for college football, which, by the way, I was told you could probably see the first coaching hire of all these jobs, you know, could be like Sunday. As a lot of these seasons come to an end, we've got conference championship games coming up after that. But the chances are, you know, one of these big jobs is going to hire somebody that's not playing in that game. So you could see that kind of start. Once those dominoes start falling, now you're going to start to see a lot of movement here in college football. But I was talking with this coach, and he brought up a great point. We were talking about a player of his that may or may not come out, you know, not like a lock first rounder. You know, in all likelihood, not going to be a first rounder, but probably a mid round pick if he comes out, which we've seen a lot of those over the last couple of years, 100 plus, you know, entrance, early entrance. And he said, you know what? I think we're going to get him to stay. And I said, oh, how do you do that? He's like, well, with NIL, he's going to make a lot of money. Like he's a popular player in our college town, in our market. He's going to make a good sum of money. And versus the uncertainty of where he would get picked and all that. Why not stay in college? It's not like, you know, it used to be like, you know, being a fourth, fifth round pick and getting what you can get is better than making no money. Yeah. These guys might have a chance in some of these situations to make more money in college next year than they would as rookies.
No, that's an interesting deal, because the NIL deal is still kind of one of those things where everyone's trying to figure out how to navigate it. I think that is a great situation, but I don't know if you heard about what Ole Miss has been able to do with the academic bonuses for their teams, where they're able to pay guys out.
No, I didn't know this.
For academic achievement, and the base level academic achievement may be academic eligibility. So to be able to get like a handful of ones and stuff like that for just making sure you're eligible to go. Yeah, I think they're going to be creative ways for teams to kind of entice guys to stick around, especially if they have kind of like the uncertain draft status. Yeah, I think that's the way of the world. And I think you kind of have to be able to understand what it is, and look, it's going to continue to further divide the haves from the have-nots, but that's just kind of the way it is in college football. And so those coaches and programs that are very creative in what they're able to do are going to have the advantages, and so it should be good. It should be a great opportunity.
It's going to change the topic, you know, because how many times have you heard, and I think we both have said the same thing about a player, whether he should come out or not. He's not a first round pick, second round pick, but you know, hey, what, you know what, go get paid, young man. Don't give away your services for free. Well, you can stay where you are and get paid. In some cases, you might be making more there in a cost certainty to know what money you're going to make versus a little bit of a crapshoot of, you know, whether you're going to get drafted. Maybe you're an undrafted free agent. Do you make the team? Do you not make the team? Like the old bird in the hand here, Buck.
Yeah, no, I think that is something too. And I think everyone has to know where you kind of fit in the pecking order when it comes to that stuff. Like, where am I going to be? Do I get good advice? Okay, well, I could be a mid-round pick or later, or I could potentially work my way up. And I think there's some great examples of later. And look, we don't know how this thing is going to turn out for a guy like Kenny Pickett, but he's a guy who has been around for a long time, who certainly has benefited from the extra time and experience. Yeah. And he's going to parlay that into potentially a high pick. And there are others that also would do so. So I think it's a great opportunity for those, if you're uncertain on where you're going to go, one, stick around in college and get a degree. Two, continue to develop on your game and just kind of see where it plays out in the end.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I'm curious to see kind of now that we have a full off season of this with the NIL, mm-hmm. like how it impacts not only guys declaring for the draft, but maybe some of the transfer stuff. I know there was some fears kind of early on of the, you know, kind of the bigger schools poaching a lot of these smaller school players to come up and say, Hey,
thanks for developing them. We'll take them now.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take it from here. Yeah, we'll take it from here. I don't know what we're going to see. But we touched on this a little bit previously. I don't know that we've totally fleshed it out, but I know there was some talk with these college jobs. Man, with the early signing period, you got to get your coach. You got to get him right now. Get him in and try and salvage this recruiting class, because I think the early signing date's like the early in December, right?
Yeah,
it's
up upon us.
But with the portal, with the transfer portal, who cares? You go take all the high school kids you want. I'm going to cherry pick the best college kids to get them to come in here, like Michigan State just did.
Well, here's the thing too, DJ. Like if you talk around the college landscape and high school landscape, yeah, the opportunities are dwindling for high school guys because guys want certainty. They want, like, now, rather than wait on the 17-year-old kid that could be a possible, let me go see what some of these first and second year guys look like and add them in. The other thing that has also changed has been when you lose the recruiting battle, now where it used to be bitter and I cannot believe you're going there.
That's like, you keep that relationship up. Yeah. Hey, doors always open.
Hey, just make sure you keep my number. Yeah. Stay in touch.
I always think about like if you're one of the Southern schools, like either in the SEC or you're in the Pac-12, kind of in good weather areas, you'd be like, no, hey, you go to the Midwest. We should pack a coat. It gets a little cold there, but if you're ever not happy, you miss the sun. It doesn't shine much there, but if you miss that, come on back.
Send an occasional postcard like, hey, how you doing?
I mean, seriously, as a high school coach, and I'm sure the longer you do this, you'll encounter this. But I would imagine that you kind of are the go-between, right? Like, if you have a player that left your school and went off to play in college somewhere, and the team that maybe lost in recruiting, maybe just, hey, Coach Brooks, how's Jimmy doing?
How's Jimmy? Yeah,
homesick at all? Jimmy homesick?
So, look, there has to be a go-between, because I do wonder with a lot of these portal decisions that we're seeing, how are they having these conversations, you know, in terms of, you know, maybe I should leave. Maybe there are better opportunities out there for me if I leave in the middle of the year, like a Michael Pittman at Oregon. We're seeing more of these guys in the middle of the year.
But can you explain this one to me, though? This is the one thing. Like, if I am in a transfer, and I think this was announced maybe before they got their doors blown off by Utah. But, like, at that point in time, I think they had a chance to get into the playoff. Like, man, I might not like a school, and I might know I'm going to leave, but I'm going to probably see that thing through the playoff before I make that move.
Well, maybe it's the old thing. Maybe it's the old timer me, but
man, finish what you start.
Not
get
only
the
that,
ring, get the whatever.
Yeah, that was the point.
I see you.
Can I get the ring, the bowl sweats? Can I get all the stuff that's coming my way, the watches and all that comes from playing in the bowl?
Best
game?
Bowl gift. What was the best bowl gift you got?
Peach Bowl. We got a watch and a ring. Mississippi State in Atlanta. That was our first bowl game too that we've been to in a long time. So yeah, that was a nice one. But now they get all the different stuff. But DJ, I just can't understand why guys would leave before the end of the year. Like,
well, one thing I can think of is if you want to transfer at semester and get there for spring ball, maybe it gives you a chance to get that all accomplished. But
yeah, and then with the redshirt rules and stuff like that, I know there's something to that, but I don't know. Like, and I know it has changed the way that we view transfers at the NFL level and the way that we used to talk. Because you remember how we used to talk about transfers, like, got transferred. I don't know if you'll compete.
Yeah, that's over.
Battle. All that stuff is done. But there would be a part of me that would be like, man, you're going to leave in the middle of the year on your team? No. Like, just that still would kind of hang out there, but it's the way of the world. It's a different thing. I mean, it's completely different. These bowl games are going to look different with all the opt-outs. Guys are not going to play. It's going to be like it's going to be like a spring game scrimmage.
Yeah. That's kind of what we've lobbied for too, was like, and now that they changed the redshirt rule, hopefully you kind of saved one of those four games for those, for those red shirts so that they can just roll out there in the bowl game.
Roll out in the bowl game. Let's have a little scrimmage to see what it looks like. Get it on tape.
Did I tell you what we got for going to the playoffs 3 years when I was at App State, 1AA playoffs? We got one t-shirt. I got one t-shirt in 3 years.
That's it?
Yeah, with a real stretched out neck too. It didn't fit very good.
Well, the standard's so high there at App State. Like, y'all are kind of like the Notre Dame of that level at that time. So, yeah, you don't win a national championship, you don't get anything. That's kind of amazing. Like, at Notre Dame, you don't get anything unless you win a national title. You go to all those sugar bowls and all that. No ring, just I think they give a watch. You can get a watch.
Really?
But they're not.
So I don't know this. Why don't they get anything?
Notre Dame, because we win national titles. So they don't.
They don't take bowl gifts? That's crazy.
No way. But you don't get a ring. You only get a ring if you win a national title.
Yeah, they're not in a conference.
Yeah, but you get a bowl ring regardless.
What do you do with a bowl ring? Come on, Buck. I mean, hey,
DJ. See, that's that App State entitlement thing. No.
Yeah.
Well, you get a ring for everything.
You like the Colts? You hanging up that finalist banner up in the arena?
Well, I'll take my Gator Bowl and my Peach Bowl ring, and I'll just pull it out of the drawer and just look at it. But they give out everything. That's part of the deal.
That's hilarious.
I got
a Southern Conference championship ring. So that's was exciting.
Okay, yeah. So championship. You get another championship.
No idea where that thing is. No clue. I think I gave it to my dad for Father's Day 1 year. Never saw it again.
Now hang on. You're the guy that doesn't. You don't hang any banners for anything. Like So right now, because App State's in the Sun Belt, right?
Yeah.
Do they have a North Division, South Division, or how do they?
Yeah, we won. Yeah, it's two divisions. We won in the division.
Okay,
like the fifth out of 6 years. We just
is there a banner, a designation anywhere in the stadium to say that
we've won four or five championships. That we've never lost a championship game. So
okay, so there wouldn't be like a runner up banner.
We'll find out. They got Georgia. They'll beat Georgia Southern. Beat the brakes off Georgia Southern this weekend, and then we'll turn around and we have to avenge a loss against a really good Louisiana team. But Napier's got he might be
distracted.
He might have LSU. Like he might have the car all packed up to go to Baton Rouge. So maybe he's a little distracted there. We can hammer them and then get our 11 wins and go win another bowl game.
Okay, wow. I gotta ask you this because, like, look, it's the Thanksgiving pie. We can kind of go wherever. Of the jobs that are out there, like, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but the big jobs, right?
Yeah.
LSU,
Florida, LSU,
USC,
Washington.
Maybe throw Washington, Virginia Tech. If you had your druthers, which is the job that you're like, oh, that's a no-brainer, I got to take that one?
Well, I mean, mine would be different because I think it would be like where I'm living would matter. Mm-hmm. I think all things considered, I would call me a homer. I live out here, but I would say USC just because I can own that conference. I can live in Manhattan Beach and we'll be good. And recruiting, recruiting doesn't appeal to me, but it would be a lot easier to recruit there than it would at the others. But if you're saying like, if I'm just a pure football guy and I want to go win a national championship and apologize to my family, then it would be LSU. Because
LSU. LSU over Florida.
I would go LSU over Florida.
See, and I would go Florida over LSU. Only in turn, I don't have the Alabama factor, but now I got the Georgia factor. I got the cocktail for me. I can do it Georgia.
Nick Saban's getting older, Buck. I mean, that's not going to be forever.
Yeah, but Jimbo's over there at A&M. Then I got Lane for as long as –
Lane's going to be a hurricane by the time this podcast comes out.
Maybe so. Here's the thing, and here's what I would say, like, just the advice, because you tweeted this out, and I saw your tweet after I'd already tweeted something. Here's what I would say to anyone who takes the SC job.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to leave the state.
No, you don't need to leave this city. Just stay in the city.
I don't think you need to leave the state. And I would use a model that has been very successful back in the day, University of Miami. I would use my experience, what Coach Brown did at North Carolina. I would try and throw a fence around Southern California. Mm-hmm. And I would make it a situation where, hey, man, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, they cannot leave the state and go play elsewhere. No. Not look, and I know USC signed quarterbacks in those classes that were hailed as whatever. But, man, the best quarterbacks in Southern California, they have to play at SC. Like, that has to be almost a mandate that you have to do that. And I don't know how you get those guys in there, but it has to be a deal where you can't let the best talent from Southern California leave and not play at USC. Yeah. And that has to be the number one thing when I think about what they're doing and what happens with that job. Talent has to be there, and I think you have to have the right coach, because it can also be a situation where years upon years upon years, I'm not seeing SC offensive or defensive linemen taken in the first two rounds. Unacceptable. It can't happen. It just can't happen. And so that's it. That's my fight on advice. Like, yeah, that has to be a deal. Because
yeah, I said city. I guess I should have said county, because you got to go to Orange County. But I mean,
it's the same.
Orange County. It's all Southern California.
It's all the same. Like, it can't be a situation like that. And then the same thing for Florida. They talk about Georgia and those things. It's too much talent in just those areas.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have to go far to get players to play when you're a Gator.
Got me thinking on this LSU Florida thing. Maybe I am wrong on that. Maybe Florida is better. I just think of LSU, and there's just a
there's like a
toughness that LSU. I think of LSU, and I kind of think of more of just like just more football-y. Like Florida, I know they've won national championships with Tebow and Urban Meyer and all that. But I think of Florida a little bit more finesse. I think of LSU a little grittier, a little tougher.
So the thing that clouds it, and I think that's the thing with Florida is, and I think it's challenging. I would say it's very similar to like you like Indiana basketball or whatever. It's not only winning, but it's how you win. Yeah. And so Florida has been so defined by the Steve Spurrier era where they won, but it was fun and gun. Yeah. It was throw it around the yard, run up the score.
Maybe that's what it is.
Trick
maybe,
plays, maybe that's it. Like all of that other stuff. I think with LSU, when LSU has won, there's been a grittiness to their teams, even with Joe Burrow, like as much as they lit around, their defense had a level of grit and just that you kind of like. I think in Florida, you're always balancing that part of it. You know, like, hey, we want you to win because Dan Mullen won at a high level, but she kind of wants you to win also while doing it a certain way. Like UCLA basketball. Like when UCLA basketball,
they want to run.
They had Ben Howland, but no one liked they were playing Big East
too much defense
in the Pac-12. Like, what are we doing? So much defense. Like, we get shots up. I think there's some of that that may hang around the Florida program. And so you just have to do it. But, look, fit is everything. And these because there are more openings than elite-level coaches.
Yeah.
When you take one of these jobs, it better fit your personality, how you want to get down and what you see, because if not, man, nothing is worse than like seeing an ill-fitting situation, because it just won't work out. And you know, it's short term.
No doubt. All right. Well, let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and talk about these Thanksgiving Day games. All right, Buck. I mean, we're not going to go in detail on all these games here.
Oh, you're not excited? No, you're not excited about the Turkey Day game?
They're not coming off good. They've all lost last week, which is crazy to think you've got six teams playing on Thanksgiving, all of them coming off of a loss. Bears at Lions. Do you think the Lions get one here? Do they get one?
Oh, I know this. The Lions always bring their A game on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something about the turkey or whatever, the early start. The Lions are going to play. And the Lions get to play the Bears with the backup quarterback who used to be the starter in Andy Dalton. I think it's a nice situation for them. They have been playing hard. They haven't been playing great, but they've been playing hard. They've been running the football. I think a lot of it depends on who starts at quarterback. If Jared Goff starts at quarterback, I give the Lions a chance. If Tim Boyle starts, I don't think they can win with Tim. I just don't think.
You're not buying that?
Nah, that's a tough one. Like, I said this. I don't look, no disrespect to him. I don't know, DJ. He doesn't have a lot of experience at any level. Like, I mean, he was at UConn for 3 years. He's at Eastern Kentucky. He was Ohio Valley Conference passing leader during his last time. Then he's kind of been in the league for, I think this is his fourth year in the league. I don't know. Was a great start his first time out. sub 100 yards, but maybe he gets it right the second time if he has to start. But if they have Jared Goff, I think they have a chance.
So if I'm to be understood here, if you're to be understood, the three-year total of one touchdown and 13 interceptions at Connecticut does not inspire a lot of confidence. Is that what you're saying?
Not on Tim Boyle. Not very confident. Like, DJ, I hate to say this because we live in the personnel evaluation business. When I saw him, I was like, man, who's Tim Boyle? Like, I've heard him. And then I had to dig deep into the files, and I was like, oh, wow. I don't know of another quarterback outside of Matt Castle who might have entered the league.
What year did he come in? 16?
Yeah, not as decorated.
No, sorry. He was 2018 was undrafted. I'm going to look in the notes because this is I'm pretty sure I got notes on him. Let me look this up here. Live look. This is exciting podcasting right here.
I can give you the details. I know he's 6'3", he's 235 pounds.
Hold on.
I told you threw for like 2,200 or 2,800 yards at Eastern Kentucky. He had 11 touchdowns and 13 interceptions during that year. He lit it up for the Green Bay Packers in the preseason. That earned him a couple spots.
It was 2018 or 2019.
Yeah. See?
I know I've got it. I know because I remember. Super, you don't forget a stat line like that.
Super sleeper right there. Tim Boyle.
Let's see. Yeah.
Traits and arm. 2018. Nabil said 2018.
2018. Golly. Mm-hmm. Why not? I'm not seeing it here. I thought Nabil's on him.
We pop Nabil on because Nabil is our homer resident Packer fan.
Go ahead.
Nabil, can you pop on, please? Can you pop on? Give us a little scouting report on Tim Boyle from the time with the Packers. Like, what do you remember seeing Tim Boyle from his preseason work with the Packers?
He actually didn't start off as good, but you know, when they had him instead of Jordan Love, and he looked pretty good. He was actually their second-string quarterback. Love was the third. He played in the preseason. I don't think he's really played in the season, though. He's maybe thrown like four passes in the season.
Mm. How'd you feel about him when you were watching those preseason games?
He looked good in the preseason as he got more comfortable in the system.
So if he plays on Thanksgiving Day, are you willing to put your paycheck on how well he performs?
I think he might upset the Bears. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, wow. The Bears disrespect is so real from a Packers fan. Okay. You can pop on. You can go away now.
I know. He was an all-star game. I want to say he was like the East-West or something, because I definitely remember talking about that stat.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing stat line. It's an amazing thing. But DJ, I think what it speaks to, we saw this week with all the backup quarterbacks. We saw Tyler Huntley start and get a win, who was an undrafted player. I mean, we always talk about like quarterbacks and those things, but to me, it's hard enough to find starters.
Yeah.
Let alone find young developmental guys that you can kind of work with and build around. Jeez.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm taking the Bears. So I'll go Bears on that one. Raiders, Cowboys. Raiders are struggling. Cowboys coming off kind of an ugly game.
No Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb is probably TBD, game time decision. Michael Gallup. But normally when the Cowboys play a stinker like that, they kind of come up and play well. I would lean more towards the Cowboys and this one over the Raiders. I just don't know where the Raiders go from here, man. I feel like they played three seasons in one with all of the stuff that they did. I think at some point the mental fatigue for having to deal with all the emotional stuff that they've had to kind of overcome kind of gets to them at the end.
I think the Raiders pass rush can give the Cowboys some trouble, but I'm with you. I think I'll stick with the Cowboys on that one. Bills, Saints, golly, the Bills have got to figure their stuff out. They've got to be more physical, man. You got to find some type of a run game and be more physical.
I am really surprised that a Sharman Dummett team relies on the quarterback and the lack of running game as much as they do. And I understand when you have a great player, the theory is, hey, put it in his hands, let him control it. Man. They have to get a ball to the running backs at some point. They have to have a semblance of a ground attack to kind of balance it out and do those things.
How did you guys do that? When you were in Buffalo, the K-Gun, and you got obviously a prolific passing team, you got Thurman Thomas, but how did they maintain their physicality by being a team that could chuck it?
You know, it's tough. I think it's really the composition of the players that you have. Defensively, you had some guys Bruce Smith and Darrell Talley. You had Henry Jones, who's a young player. Those guys could kind of play. They were good up front. They were always playing with a league so they could pass rush. But yeah, man, like that's the thing. When you throw it around the yard like that, it is hard to retain like that physicality. And when you would play those teams that were the most physical teams, if you can't jump out on top of it, it becomes a slugfest. Like they can't lean onto you. But it's one of those perceptions that you can kind of deal with.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of in the middle of the pack, 118 yards a game, but you kind of factor Josh Allen into that as well. But it's just, I don't know. There's a toughness component that's kind of missing with this team.
And I'm surprised.
Jags game and the Colts game.
I'm surprised because they are such a team of blue-collar guys. Like, I feel like this team embodies the coach. I feel like there's unison from top to bottom, the synergy and the connectivity between the coach, Sean McDermott, how he is, who he is, and how this team is constructed and built. I'm just surprised that they haven't been as physical. It's not enough. I mean, it's not too late for them to turn it around, but they certainly are not like the rough and rugged team that you would think, given his defensive background and kind of how he's come up.
All right. These, again, not the sexiest of lineup of games here. Saints, you know, they're going to be in the game. We know that. They're just going to hang around and see what happens at home, try and see if they can get after it up front. Marcus Davenport, by the way, is going to get paid. That's my one Saints little nugget for you there. I think he's a free agent after this year.
Yeah, light, that's funny.
He's healthy. Man, because, when healthy, the light comes on and you see.
Right. I thought they picked up his fifth-year option. Maybe not. I thought they did. But either way, he is going to get paid because he's finally playing like the guy many expected when he was coming from UTSA.
Well, if they did, then he's going to be extension worthy here because it's hard to find guys that are 6 foot six, 270 pounds that can rush like that. That's a big athletic dude.
He's kind of picked up. Hey, speaking of Saints, what is the Taysom Hill deal? Like, what is that? Like, the four-year extension that can fluctuate from $40 million up to $95 million depending on what position he plays. DJ, he's 31 years old. Like this year, I think he only has like 32 touches. Like, what is the fascination right now that the Saints have over Taysom Hill, particularly when he's not playing quarterback?
You know what this is like? This is like somebody that, remember like in high school, somebody would break up with their girlfriend and be like, I don't want to date her anymore, but you can't date her.
Yes.
I'm not gonna use him offensively, but no, you're not allowed to. You can't. Yeah, like, no. Like, that's crazy.
At that number, $22 million guaranteed. At that number is crazy. And so if you're not utilizing them, the best thing that Taysom Hill did was he was
playing Trevor Siemian.
He's a Swiss Army knife. And they're not even using him at that. And from a personnel standpoint, he's 31 years of age. And if we're going to utilize him as a utility player, he needs to be utilized as a utility player. And I'm going to get everything out of him. Taysom Hill is playing 50 plus snaps a game, H-back, fullback, wide receiver. He has to be on the field because how do you justify that cap number if he's not on the field? That's, to me, that's...
I think that's a positive note to end this podcast, Thanksgiving podcast for everybody there. Yeah. But Bucky's thankful he didn't have to scratch that check for Taysom Hill.
I am very thankful. Oh, my gosh. Because how would I justify? I don't know how I would justify it.
Yeah. By the way, we will not be doing any of these Thursday games with our Twitch and Amazon broadcast. So that'll be back next week. So just get your turkey, enjoy the games like we will. And then we'll catch you guys back the following Thursday. So, man, I am thankful for all of you again. Thank you guys so much for letting us do this for a living. It sure is a lot of fun. Buck, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No, that's it, man. Once again, just a gratitude. Thanks so much. Everybody for tuning in, for listening. It's been a great ride. We look forward to doing more and more and more cool stuff going forward. Enjoy the holiday.
Oh, there you go. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.